This sermon was birthed, actually. I have a great time with my associates. See, church has been telling me they're keeping me young. And I already look younger than Chad. And Chad looks like an old man. He's 27, 28 years old. He looked like he's 60 today. Amen. And but I was in the office chatting, and Chad and I was talking about a verse, and I wish he wouldn't do me like that. It kind of got in me, and I built a sermon from Taze Valley to Elkview, the first three introductions, and while the singing was going on, I did the rest of it. And I'm going to preach it to you today. Once you go over to Genesis 17 and 18. And I want to preach on something. It's in me today. It's just in me. I'm going to preach it. Are you there? I want you to look at chapter 17, verse number 1. And I'll read two or three verses there. Then I'm going to jump you down to about verse 14, or verse 15, 16, 17, and 18. Then I'm going to jump you over to chapter 18. Now let me give you the setting. In Genesis chapter 12, God established a covenant with Abraham, or Abram. By the way, it was an everlasting covenant. It was God's covenant. He said, I'm going to bless you, boy. And because of you, the whole world's going to be blessed because of your seed. And then in chapter 15, God reaffirmed that. Even had a sacrifice. Blood. We've been singing about blood. By the way, thank God for the blood covenant. Amen. Chapter 16, we see a lapse of judgment on the part of Abraham and Sarah. They chose a handmaiden for Abraham. And I want to just tell you, I know I'm cautioned not to say a lot of this, but I'm letting it rip anyhow. This world's on fire right now. How many of y'all agree with me? My God have mercy, they're shooting, Iran shooting missiles over our boats over there. And I don't have a clue why we made a compact with them for anything. They're a bunch of liars. And Syria's on fire. Iraq's on fire. Y'all said, well, where'd that all start? Genesis 16, when Abraham had a boy named Ishmael. This world's on fire because Ishmaelites. And I can prove to you, so you don't even have to come to me today, I can prove to you where Muslim race came from. They'll tell you they came from Ishmael. So he made a mess of it. But I'm glad that God still stands in the shadows and say, this is still the right way, boy. And I want to lead you into this. Stay with me. I'm going somewhere. I like where I'm going. Chapter 17, and when Abram was 90 years old and 99, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect, because he sure wasn't in chapter 16. And I will make my covenant between thee and me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. Now, go down to verse number 15. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah, thy wife, thou shalt call her name, not call her name Sarah, but Sarah. Shall her name be, and I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be the mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Listen to this. Some of my fundamental brothers, they blame it all on Sarah. Abraham was backslidden as he was, and all she done was follow his lead. I'll explain that in a little bit. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed. How many of y'all see that in your King James Bible? Now, if you got one of them other kind, it probably don't work real well. But the King James Bible's got it in there. And then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old, or Sarah that is 90 years old, bear? Now listen to this statement by this backslidden heathen, Christian. And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. How many think he got warped? Yeah, boy. Now turn over to chapter 18. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. Yeah, please stay with me. Chapter 18. And the Lord, here he is again appearing unto him, Abraham, in the plains of Mamre. And he said in the tent door in the heat of the day. I got a message on that. I won't touch that today. And he lit his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. Stop. Write down your margins. Them three angels sent from Almighty God. And one of them, who was the guy that done the pitch, was no more than none other than the Lord Jesus Christ in a Christophany appearance. My God, I feel good today. And he said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, and I pray thee from thy servant. Now, jump up to verse 8 or 11, and I'm going somewhere. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Now, they done come, said, we're going to bless Sarah. How many heard that? Sarah done stopped having babies and couldn't have them anymore. Got me? And therefore, Sarah laughed within herself. How many of y'all knows that at least twice? Let me give you three things. Just write this introduction down. Number one, I want you to notice the promise reaffirmed. I want you to know something. I want you to look at me, Baptist. I got a God, when he makes a promise, he keeps a promise. I want you to know my God cannot lie. He can't tell a fib. He can't make a mistake. I know there's some people who say, well, God sinned. And God's a failure. That's one charismatic crowd says a failure. Kenneth Copeland says he's a favor. Some of y'all that listen to him, I'm watching some of you and see how your reaction was to that. It ain't time to bow your head right now. Anybody listen to him ought not be left alone by yourself. God reaffirmed his promise. Number two, I want you to notice. By the way, I'm glad. How many of y'all glad we got an omnipotent God? All powerful. See, I make promises and have. And won't lie, broke them. Because I was unable to perform them. So number two, I want you to look over chapter number 18 and verse number 14. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Hey, there's no sinner God can't save. Ain't no saint that God can't help. Well, praise God. Ain't no need that he can't supply. Whoa, glory. Send some Holy Ghost here today. Amen. So I want to lay the foundation. Chad, God made the promise. But see, then he said, hold it. Ain't nothing too hard for me. And I'll keep my promise. But here's my message. That's all porch building. I want you to notice number three in verse number 17 of chapter 17. And verse number 12 of chapter 18, I'll read them one more time. What a peculiar reaction to God's promise. Then Abraham fell upon his face, and what, church? Laughed. Go over. Come on, stay with me. Go over to verse number 12 of 18. Therefore, y'all there? How many's there? Therefore, Sarah, what? Someone say it. Within herself. I want to preach on something today. Ain't no laughing matter. I know some of you are used to sugarcoat preaching. Well, I'm going to tear the hide off of it this morning. Some of you like that love, 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 love. I do too. But I want you to know, sir, young man, mom, dad, God's not only a God of love, but he's a God of wrath. And I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I want you to know he says more in the Bible about his wrath than he does even his love. He says more in the Bible about hell than he does heaven. I'm going to give you four or five things. Now I'm becoming topical. I want to lay on this. It's no laughing matter. Number one, write this down in your notes. No laughing matter when the Spirit ceases to strive with you. God said in Genesis 6, my Spirit will not always strive with man. I want to make a statement here. And some of you got some Calvinistic tendencies. I'm blowing you out right now. You are believing a heresy. Amen. The Calvinist says that God doesn't call everybody. Then when you back them up, they say, oh, well. He does call a general call, but he don't do an effectual call. That's a bunch of malarkey. My Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And if you're reading after a Calvinist, stop reading them after. Your brain's going to be polluted. That 5-foot-point tulip crowd ain't got enough sense coming out of the rain. They're the ones that said they have arrived today. They're the ones that says us whosoever will people are nothing but a bunch of rednecks. By the way, the same crowd is the one that changed the Bible. They don't use the King James. Same crowd is in that contemporary rock music stuff. Somebody help me right there. I wish I felt good. You really hear a sermon this morning. You hear me out, sinner? God's Spirit doesn't always strive. I'll tell you a story right here from Taste Valley Baptist Church. Years ago, somebody come to this church. I preached to them. I knew God was dealing with them. They were weeping. Every invitation, they wept. Lord, the last time I see him at Taste Valley Baptist Church, they were stone cold. His wife still went to Taste Valley years ago. He was in the hospital, dying. She said, she came to me and she begged me. She said, will you please go witness to him one more time? Ladies and gentlemen, I went to his bedside and I poured my heart out. I cried. He looked at me with a cold look. He made this statement. If God ever dealt with me, I don't know. But I want you to know he ain't dealing with me now. And no, no, no. I want you to know something. You look me in. It ain't no laughing matter. When the Holy Ghost starts dealing with you and you reject his call. And I know the Calvinists say you can't resist the call of God. Why did Stephen say you do always resist? Give me a five right there. Oh, they say you can't reject God's call. That's a lie from hell. Tell that Driscoll guy I said he's an idiot. Tell them others I said. And you were, it's permeated in one Baptist denomination. It's done corrupted that denomination. Some of the leaders that I used to preach with, they still standing against it. Somebody help me. Number two, you hear me out. Turn to 1 Corinthians 9:27. I'm going to give you some. I don't know how many I'll get out of these, so I'm going to get the ones I know that God wants me to hit first. Turn to 1 Corinthians 9:27. you're there, say amen. Please follow me. Because I do hope you believe the Bible. Look at verse 25. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore shall run, not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it under subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now let me explain. A castaway is not somebody who lost their salvation. A castaway is a Christian that God took his hand off of. Number two, it's no laughing matter, Chad, when the Savior takes his hand off you. I want you to know, I'm gonna just tell you why God's blessing this church and he ain't blessing others. Because God's got his hand on this church. Oh, yeah. Why do we have a whole pew of preacher boys here get called to preach? Because God's got his hand on this church. Got his hand on the men of the church. I want to warn every one of you. If God ever takes his hand off of you, me, the church, he's done and you're done. I'll tell you a couple of stories. We've really have turned it up a notch since we had Brother Jared come in here as youth pastor. But we had a notch up on most churches before you. We used to take our kids all over the country. I was out in Missouri. I'll never forget a teenager. I preached to the kids out there. I was in the room. I was preaching to the kids. And this girl got up on the bed crying and said, God called her to do something. I believed her. She done long forgot that call. You want to know when I know you got God's hand off of you? The joy is removed from your face. You'll stop doing what you were taught when you was a girl or a boy by your family. I'll tell you another story. As a young lady used to come here, and I ain't picking on ladies this morning, I'm just telling you these two stories happened to be that way. She went to West Virginia State College. She took the class Origins. Then got around a bunch of liberal Christians. Ladies and gentlemen, you know how far she went? I mean, she used to testify here. God took his hand off of her. And she came to my office and said, I don't even know if there's a God now. I took the book by Joshua Dow and personally discipled her for 6 months. Evidence that demands a verdict. Now, they got more to that now. And it took me 6 months to deprogram her and 2 years for her to get any touch of God back. And you said, what happened? Oh, simple. She got around the wrong crowd. She listened to the wrong thing. And I know some of y'all say, why, you just too old-timey. That King James too old-timey. That's kind of singing too old-timey. We like to jam it. We like to wear it. We like to get after it. I don't care if you jam it up home and jump all over your bed and knock your head on the wall. But it sure ain't for God's work. And God ain't within 100 miles of it. And I want you to know something. I know what somebody's going to say. Well, any new song is contemporary. Please. I'm not an idiot. That's really not a good argument. Because if it don't meet the criteria of Ephesians chapter number 5, it's unscriptural. If it's fleshly, it's unscriptural. Let me tell you what's happening. He'll tell you. The biggest battle we have is just church. And I've influenced churches all over the country. Pastors, youth pastors call me every week. And they say, Pastor, I never thought that I'd have an issue with the King James in my church. I never thought that I'd have an issue with music in my church. And I want to tell you, the battle is right there. And then they take that step and then they go into worldliness. And then God says, I'm done with you. They do things that you never thought they'd done before. That young lady that used to be called to ministry, now life is a mess. I know she drinks. I know she don't live right. Hey, hold it a minute. Hold it. Where did it start? It started when God took his hand off of you. And that's no laughing matter. You can joke and you can go make fun of me down at the table today and you can say, oh, he's just old school. Hold it, buddy. I got more elevation about me in my pinky than you do in your whole body. I got more vision about me to get people saved and do a difference in Christ than you got your whole body. If you don't do it, I'm going to do it. Amen.
Amen.
What happened, preacher boys? You done die? Ain't going to be no laughing matter. God takes his hand off of you. Good preaching, Reverend. Number three, I'm still preaching. Number three, oh Lord. Turn to James, chapter number one. I got at least two more. I'll just brush these, but I got to give them to you anyhow. James, chapter number one. I got so many notes in my Bible. Whew. Y'all there? This old man's getting there. Is that in the New Testament? Okay. Just checking some of you out. James chapter number one, look down at verse number 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. He was not talking to sinners. It's no laughing matter when sin starts. When sin defiles you. I know we're in a culture. I know we're in a culture, a permissive culture. It's permeating our college campuses. It's permeating the churches. And it ain't nothing more than downright worldliness. And there's boys and girls that have left this church and no longer have God's hand on them, and sin has defiled them. And now they got a beachhead of alcohol. You look at me now. Drugs, music, pornography, and sin has defiled them. I don't know how many of you remember. How many remember the old Spencer State Hospital? That tells you, a lot of folks don't. That was a mental hospital. There's a lady went to church here. She's dead now. She just went a little while here. I don't know if anybody even know her. She just went a little while, but long enough that I knew her. Her son was a drunk. And her daughter-in-law was too. They had a boy. I don't know if y'all have heard. I'll probably not, Doc, if I mess this up, just overlook me. I know you're a physician, and I'm going to mess it up. But that fetal alcohol syndrome, the boy was born with that. The boy come here a couple times, but he got drunk, and Grandma told me, would you please go out to Spencer and see him? And try to witness to him to the Lord. Church, I'm going to do that. And I went. I'm going to tell you what happened. I went in there and he had a padded cell. And I'm going to just, you look at me. I ain't trying to malt nothing, but I'm just telling you, look at me. He was, he sat here and he said, and all he done was laugh. I said his name. He said, he died 25, 26 years old in the crazy house. It ain't no laughing matter. You start getting yourself defiled in sin, and I want you to know something, it will take you farther than you want to go. I'll give you two more, and they'll be quick. I won't take you the verse. I'll just give them to you. It ain't no laughing matter when Satan destroys your home. You look at me. Look at me right now. There ain't a home in this building that is immune to the attack of Satan. I know my wife will tell you, we've been married 42 years. We ain't had marital trouble, but she just told me, she said, she struggles at times. I struggle at times because I know there's a battle and doing right. And how many statistics have we had come in and out of this church? Their home broke up. They broke their kids down. They lied on their commitment to each other. I married them and they said, till death do us part. And they told a lie. And now the kids won't talk to them. Or at least one of them, and sometimes both of them, because they're both so ignorant. And it ain't no laughing matter. Last thing, I'm done. Luke 16 talks about Lazarus and a rich man. Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom, went to paradise, and a rich man had died and went to hell. And it is no laughing matter if your soul slides into hell. Them two girls back there, little Brian girls, one of these days you're going to have to sing that song I like, People Need the Lord. And I'll tell you something. Ain't no laughing matter. If you're in this room right now, you look me right in my eyeball. Ain't no laughing matter. You die and go to hell. Ain't no laughing matter. You reject Christ today. Ain't no laughing matter. Somebody help me. Ain't no laughing matter. The Bible said in hell, he lift up his eye. It didn't say lift it. It said lift. You know he's still there. I've watched some of you. Some of you have been under conviction and you ain't came yet. If you die without Christ, it ain't no laughing matter. You'll be in hell. If you don't receive Christ today, it ain't no laughing matter. You'll be in hell. Why do we still soul with him? Because it ain't no laughing matter for people to be in hell. Amen. Now I'm going to give you this. It wasn't in my original sermon. There will be a day somebody's going to laugh. Am I right? If you read Proverbs, it said God is going to laugh when your calamity comes. I want to ask you a question. Come on now. If you're here and saved or unsaved, do you sense God working with you? That means he wants to save you. Ain't no laughing matter for you refuse it. If you're here, are you hearing somebody that there been a time you had the power of God all over you? I mean, there was a time when you were so sensitive to the Holy Ghost, you glowed in the dark. And you won't admit it, but your joy's gone. You won't admit it, the touch you had's gone. It ain't no laughing matter. And there's some of you right now, your marriage is almost on the rocks and you're fighting almost every day. And it will be no laughing matter if your marriage goes up in smoke. Bow your head with me.
when he said, whosoever come, the Lord of all creation gave his life for my salvation. So undeserved, it's hard for me to understand God's Son would give this invitation, this wondrous revelation, whosoever.